You know that sinking feeling when you look up and see a brownish ring stain blooming across your ceiling? Or maybe you notice a soft, crumbling spot on the wall behind the guest bathroom sink. It is a quiet kind of heartbreak, because it represents a break in the one thing your house is supposed to do, which is keep the outside out and the inside dry. Most people see that bubbling paper and immediately think they need to call a professional or tear down an entire wall. But I want you to take a breath and look at it with me for a minute. We are going to handle this together. And by the time we are done, you are going to know exactly how to make that wall as solid and smooth as the day the house was framed. Before we even touch a tool, we have to talk about the why behind the damage. Drywall is essentially a sandwich of gypsum plaster pressed between two heavy sheets of paper. It is remarkably strong when it is dry. But once water gets into that core, it turns into something closer to wet chalk. If you just paint over a water stain, you are essentially putting a band-aid on a broken bone. The stain will bleed back through. Or worse, the paper will eventually peel away because the structural integrity of the board is gone. I learned this the hard way years ago when I was first starting out. I had a small leak from an upstairs tub that left a spot about the size of a dinner plate on the living room ceiling. I thought I was being clever by just sanding it down, hitting it with a little bit of spray primer, and rolling some leftover ceiling paint over it. It looked great for about 3 weeks. Then, one evening while I was sitting on the couch, a chunk of the ceiling the size of a frisbee just gave up and dropped right onto the coffee table. The water had compromised the gypsum around the screws, and the weight of the damp board finally won the battle against gravity. That taught me that if the drywall feels soft or punky when you press your thumb into it, it has to come out. There is no middle ground with water damage. Let's get our workspace ready. Dealing with drywall is a messy business, and since we are dealing with old water, there is a chance of dust and dried sediment, so I always start by laying down a heavy canvas drop cloth. Plastic works in a pinch, but it gets slippery when drywall dust hits it, and I like the way canvas stays put. I grab my utility knife, a drywall saw, which looks like a small jagged dagger, a drill, some drywall screws, a joint knife, and a small tub of all-purpose joint compound. You will also need a piece of new drywall that matches the thickness of your existing wall, which is usually half an inch or 5/8 of an inch. If you aren't sure, cut a small piece of the damaged stuff out first and take it to the store with you. We start by defining the perimeter of the surgery. I like to use a pencil to draw a square or a rectangle around the damaged area. Don't try to cut a circle or some jagged shape that follows the stain. A square is much easier to patch. I take my utility knife and firmly score those lines. Once I have a good groove, I take the drywall saw and carefully poke it through the center of the damaged area. You want to be mindful here. There are wires and pipes living behind these walls, so I never shove the saw in deep. I just use enough pressure to get the tip through, and then I saw outward toward my pencil lines. As you cut, you'll feel the resistance of the gypsum. If you hit something hard that isn't wood, stop immediately. That is likely a pipe or a conduit. Once the damaged piece is out, I reach inside and feel for the wooden studs or ceiling joists. To make a strong patch, we need something to screw the new piece into. If my hole is between two studs, I usually cut back the existing drywall until I've exposed half of the wooden stud on either side. This gives me a lip of wood to catch both the old wall and the new patch. Now we have a clean rectangular hole with solid wood showing on the edges. I measure that opening twice, maybe three times if I'm feeling jumpy, and cut a piece of my new drywall to fit. It doesn't have to be a pressurized perfect fit. A gap of 1/8 of an inch around the edges is actually helpful because it gives the joint compound a place to go. I hold the new piece in place and drive my drywall screws through the patch and into the wood. This is a feel thing. You want the head of the screw to sit just below the surface of the paper, creating a tiny dimple without actually tearing the paper. If you hear a pop and see the paper shred, you've gone too far. Back it out and try again, an inch away. That paper is what provides the strength. And once it's torn, the screw isn't doing much work. With the patch secure, we move into the part that most people find intimidating, the mudding. This is where we turn a hole in the wall into a seamless surface. I take my joint knife and spread a thin layer of compound over the seams. Then, I press my paper tape into the wet mud. I use the knife to smooth the tape down, squeezing out the excess mud from underneath. You want the tape to be flat and tight against the wall. Once that first coat is down, I let it dry completely. This is the hardest part for me because I always want to keep moving. But if you put wet mud over damp mud, you're asking for cracks later on. The second coat is where the magic happens. I use a wider knife, maybe 8 or 10 inches, and I feather the edges. This means I put more pressure on the outer edge of the knife, so the compound gets thinner as it moves away from the patch. We are essentially creating a very shallow hill that is so wide and so gradual that the eye can't see it. When I run my hand over it, I shouldn't feel a hump. It should just feel like a continuous, smooth plane. I usually do 3 coats, each one slightly wider than the last. Between coats, if there are any high ridges, I don't sand them yet. I just use the edge of my knife to scrape them off. Sanding creates a fog of dust that gets into everything, so I save it for the very end. When that final coat is bone dry, it'll turn from a dull gray to a bright chalky white. I take a fine grit sanding sponge and lightly buff the edges. I'm not trying to grind it down. I'm just blending those feathered edges into the existing wall. I use my hand to check the work. Your eyes can be fooled by the different colors of the mud and the old paint, but your fingers will tell you the truth. If you can feel a transition, keep sanding or add a tiny bit more mud. Once it's smooth, I wipe the wall down with a slightly damp cloth to get the dust off. Now, here is a professional secret. You must use a dedicated primer before you paint. Drywall compound and new paper soak up paint like a sponge. If you skip the primer, the texture of the patch will look different than the rest of the wall, and the water stain might even try to ghost its way back through. A good stain-blocking primer seals the deal. After that, you roll on your matching paint, and you'll find yourself standing there, looking at a wall that looks like nothing ever happened. There is a real satisfaction in that. You took something broken and soft and made it whole and hard again. It's not just about the wall. It's about knowing you have the hands to fix the world around you.